Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for this show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Yeah. In life, there's the question and there's the question behind the question. I bet you already know what I mean. Pretend you're married. Well, some of us don't have to pretend. And your spouse asks you, "Do these jeans make me look fat?" In that moment, you can choose to answer the question. You can give your spouse an accurate clinical assessment of how fat or not they look in said jeans. But that's a rookie mistake. What an experienced married person does is to answer the question behind the question. Your spouse in that moment is really asking, "Do you think I'm attractive?" The answer to that ought to be, "Heck yeah, baby. In fact, I'm about to prove it to you." The same thing comes up when people want to talk to us about sins. Somebody asks you, "So, are you one of those Christians that think homosexuals are a bunch of sinners?" And in that moment, we have a choice. We can choose to answer the question. We can give a theologically sound discourse on how, based on Scripture, same-gender sexual intercourse is a sin, and that thusly, those who engage in it would be sinners. But just like with the jeans, it's a rookie mistake. What an experienced Christian does is utter five little words that change everything. "Tell me why you ask." As soon as we start hearing where people are coming from with their first question, we discover there's a deeper, massively more important question that they're desperate to find an answer for. I'll give you an example. A person wants to know what we think of homosexuality, and we ask them what's got them wondering about that. And then they tell us that their cousin is gay, and the family has only ever been mean and terrible to the cousin. And dang it, that really sucks. And is God one more person on a list of people who hate their cousin? Now, this is a question worth talking about. And I bet you don't need any help coming up with what you'd say in that moment. I'm guessing it begins, "I'm so sorry people have mistreated your cousin. And of course, God doesn't hate your cousin. God loves your cousin, and he's mad that people have been mean to your cousin. And we all have struggles, and it isn't right for people to be judging," and so on. Of course, if you respond in this way, you will see an expression of relief on the face of the person you're talking to. You'll see their shoulders relax, and there will be a look in their eye that says, "You know, someday I might want to figure out what's up with me and God, and when I do, this is my guy." And you have just ministered to another human being. A smart man has said that no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. This means that if you want people to listen to you, you must earn it. And you earn it by proving that you love them. Christians talk a lot about speaking up for truth and speaking out against sin. And if you're not paying attention, it'd be easy to think that speaking is the key thing. But it's not. What the Bible makes clear is that having the right conditions for speaking up and planting a seed is what's really important. Jesus told a famous parable about a farmer scattering seed. In the story, the farmer isn't really paying attention, so he's just tossing seeds wherever. And as you know, the seeds that fell on rocks or thorns or gravel were never really going to go anywhere. The point of the story is not that we should hurl seeds all willy-nilly. The point is that seed will take root on well-prepared soil, and we are responsible for making the most of every seed planted. So then it's worth getting in the habit of asking, "Is this soil ready?" Or more directly, "Does this person know that I love them?" If not, it isn't time for planting seeds just yet. Sometimes people will ask you for your opinion even though they don't respect your opinion. It's odd, but true. And what we might be inclined to look at as an opening, they're asking to hear the gospel, might in actuality be a test. You know, let's see how Churchy McGee deals with this. If you can be mindful of that reality, then it's okay to not answer that question. To say, hey, don't lump me in with your Yahoo televangelists and put words in my mouth. You know this is a complicated issue, and I'm not inclined to give an off-the-cuff answer. And besides, if you want to know what I believe, look at how I live. Sometimes a non-answer can speak louder than falling for a trap that's been set for you. In fact, avoiding the trap shows that you're a person with discernment who doesn't do childish arguments. People respect that. By contrast, no one respects an argumentative bull in a china shop, whether they claim to be standing up for truth or not. No, if you want to plant good seed on good soil, earn the right to be heard. Show love. Find ways of serving people in humility. Seek out acts of charity that you can accomplish. Earn respect. Earn the right to be heard, and you'll find well-tilled soil ready for planting everywhere you go. Until then, don't get caught speaking out of turn and end up tempting people to go even deeper in their disbelief. Plenty of people are looking for an excuse to do just that. Don't give them one. Some Christians feel like the world is attempting to enslave them with lies and temptation everywhere they go, and so they're in a constant defensive state of fighting back against the evils of the age. But this is the wrong paradigm. Jesus did not come to respond to the world. He came so the world could respond to him. Let's take a look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Here, God is acting. He's leading the way, and everybody else is responding, reacting to what God has done. In the same way, mature Christians act. They don't react. A mature Christian chooses a course and stays on it, because if they respond to every taunt and jeer, every distraction and sideshow, every trolling comment on the internet, they'll never get anything done in life. We need to know what our goals are and stick to them. To put it another way, we need to know what the heart of our message is and refuse to be distracted from it. If you're not sure, the heart of the message is grace. With that in mind, I bet you can see that the more we get baited into discussing things that are further and further from this message of grace, love, and forgiveness, the more you've allowed others to set the agenda. Suddenly, they've led us down a controversial dead end, and we've failed to show the big picture. You can't debate young earth creationism and communicate God's passionate love in the same breath. People tried this with Jesus a whole lot. They brought a woman caught in the act of adultery and dared Jesus to preach forgiveness and grace in light of such a clear violation of Scripture. But Jesus never took the bait. He turned this judgmental attitude back on the mob and told them that whichever one of them was holy enough to throw stones and look down on someone and mistreat someone else because of their sins, go right ahead. They challenged Jesus about paying taxes, daring him to take a stand in a political struggle with the conquering Romans. But again, Jesus didn't take the bait. He showed them that their desire to avoid taxes or to overthrow the Romans was not a holy cause, but a selfish one, and he told them to give themselves to God. In both cases, he went after the issue behind the issue, just like we started with. Jesus was answering the question behind the question. This can't be more simple or straightforward. If someone comes up to you and asks you if you think something's a sin, then what they're really asking you is how you feel about the people who commit that sin. If you only answer the first theological question about sin, and they already know it's a sin, otherwise they wouldn't even be bringing it up, and you ignore the implied question about the people that are caught up in that sin, you've not only set yourself up to look judgmental, bigoted, and prejudiced, but your witness is long gone. In a way, it's kind of unfair, as you are only answering the question as stated. But we have to be wise about the emotional component in these relationships. Nobody really wants your theological take on anything. If they ask you about a certain kind of sin, it's because they're doing it, or someone close to them is doing it, and they want to know whether they need to have their guard up against you condemning them. You can almost give a blanket answer to any and all questions along these lines. If you want to know what the Bible says about this thing, read it for yourself. If you want to know what I think, here it is. God loves sinners, and so do I. Period. The end. I don't judge. Not now. Not ever. I'm still a work in progress myself. If nothing else, you've earned the right to be heard by showing love. You've acted, demonstrating grace rather than reacted to a debate. And you very effectively answer the question behind the question.